السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لامرئ ما نوى، فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله، ومن كانت هجرته إلى دنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها وفي رواية يتزوجها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, the topic for tonight is the downfall of the Ummah, which of course is a concern of a lot of people, that what is the reason for it, and then what's the solution. And if you look at the hadith that I have just recited or just read to you, you may think that it was from yesterday's topic, which was about intention. And this is a hadith that most of the scholars have studied their books of hadith with it to remind us about the importance of the intention. But the hadith is very closely related to this topic of tonight, and beautifully explains some reasons, some ways of reforming ourselves and working towards improving our situations individually and collectively. Let me just give you a little background of the hadith. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah Mukarramah, and he saw what Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een were going through with all the hardships and difficulties, being tortured on the hands of the kuffar of Quraysh. Initially he allowed them to go to Eritrea, Habasha, and then finally he got the permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to immigrate to Medina Munawwara. And he allowed Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een to start going to Medina. Initially he allowed, and finally he ordered where the hijrah to Medina Munawwara became fard. In those days it was fard for all the believers in Makkah Mukarramah to leave Makkah. They were not allowed to stay there anymore. So as many different groups of people are leaving Makkah Mukarramah, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out that here a group of people have arrived Medina Munawwara, they all left Makkah, but there is a person amongst them who had some other intention of coming to Medina. And that was, he proposed a marriage to a woman in Medina whose name was Qais. And she applied this condition to him that, "I will marry you only if you come to Medina." So he accepted the condition. And as all the groups are leaving Makkah Mukarramah to Medina, he goes with them. He went through all the hardships, difficulties of the traveling, especially in those days. When he arrived Medina Munawwara, and the story was known to people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out about it. So he gathered the people in the masjid and he made this announcement, innamal a'malu bin niyyat. All actions depend on intention. Wa innama li imri'in wa fi riwayatin li kulli imri'in ma nawa. Every person will get only what he intended. Then he continued about that specific situation, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whoever's immigration to Medina was for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would be considered for that and he will get the reward accordingly. And whoever's hijrah to Medina was for some other reason, إِلَى دُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا, for some worldly reason, for some worldly gain to acquire it, أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا, or for a woman to marry her, then his hijrah will be considered only for the purpose he have made that hijrah for. Let us take a big step on the, over the this period of the history, from the time that this hadith was said to our time now. As today we all are sitting here, what was the purpose of our immigration to this part of the world? Why did we come here for? And at this time when we think about it, it may be the second part of the hadith that will apply to us. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى دُنْيَا. A person whose hijrah was to dunya, to come and get dunya. Some of us may even say, I really don't know what was the purpose of my parents' hijrah to this part of the world because they immigrated. It's not me. The point now, that thing is gone. That portion of it is gone. Now, let's come to our present situation. We came, whatever that intention was. What is the intention at this time for us to stay over here? Have we really thought about it? Or we just left it now because, oh, I came already and I came for a purpose, so let me just work for that purpose and there is no need for me to change that intention. For how long are we going to continue with the same mistake that we made earlier? Even today, we can change that intention, so from now on at least the situation will change. It did not end there. We arrived over here. It did not end by that. It still continues. It still we have some intention of staying here. Some reason for staying. What is that? Have we worked on correcting that one? And now, when many of us are puzzled when we get this question, what is the reason for the downfall of the Ummah? Let me tell you, there is a very close connection between that downfall of the Ummah and this intention that we carry in our hearts. You know where is the connection? Can you make it now? Can you make that link there? Whenever a nation, whenever a person, whenever a group of people goes somewhere with the intention of taking something, they are only takers and they will always be considered the second degree people, the second level people, because you are the taker and the giver hands are always higher. We came and we continued remaining ourselves, keeping ourselves in that position of just takers. Let me just take from you people. I came here to take something. So if we keep on taking, then of course we can never look up to the givers and say a single word to them, because they are only givers and we are only takers. We made our position in the society as the second level people, second degree people, because we all are takers here. If the intention will change, what will happen? The situation will change, we will become the givers. Today we hear a lot of people demanding for their rights. On what basis? We are taxpayers. And on the basis of this, we demand that we need this in our neighborhood. We need that type of sign. We need this road to be fixed. On what basis? We are taxpayers. They just pay the tax. Because they are giving that tax, they feel that they should have some rights now, and they should be, their needs should be fulfilled. And those government officials who are responsible for doing these things, if they feel they are not able to fulfill it, they are not going to say, you have no right to ask for it. They even realize they are taxpayers, they can ask for it, but at this time we are sorry, we are not able to do it. The position seems to be higher of that person, but he is sorry because he is not able to do it. We don't have to be sitting on those chairs to be ruling the hearts of the people. We don't have to be sitting in those positions to be the givers. We can be sitting in the same places and we'll still be givers, and they will be sorry if they won't accept our offers. But if we continue living as takers, my purpose is just to take. I came into this society just to gather something from it. Then of course, we, our souls, will be looking down on our souls, and our situation will be as normal, very well known in the world, that takers are takers and givers are givers, and the giving hand is always higher. What should we give? Now we may start thinking about it. We pay taxes too. And this is where the problem would come. That those who have higher things to give, they give only as much as others are giving. And now they are, all they are trying for is, if I become giver, then I'm trying to just compete with the other people around me to be just like one of them. And still I'm undermined, and I think that I'm not even equal to one of these people. So by giving, I'm trying to prove to everyone, you know, I'm as equal to you people. Because you're giving, paying taxes, I pay taxes too. You live in this type of houses, I live in these type of houses too. You do this for the neighborhood, I do this too. So we are trying to compete to be like some other people. Very unfortunate situation. Whereas our situation must be, we have an asset. If we start distributing that, the takers will always be grateful to us because they never had anything like this, and the rejectors will always be sorry for not accepting it. And then imagine what will be the position of this person. We don't have to change the position, as I said. We don't have to become bosses before we can do anything. Instead, giving. Sometime in some of the masjid, I don't know the situation here, there are some donors in the community who give some good sums to the masjid, and when it comes to meetings and general body meetings, if you hear a person speaking very loud, that might be the person who is one of the good donors in the society, therefore he speaks as loud as he can. No, I did this, I gave this, and still this is not happening. Just just because he thinks that he's giving. If today we start giving, give what? It will be very unfortunate for us not to know what we have. We have the most valuable asset that exists on the surface of the earth now. That is the asset of Iman. And believe me, people are looking for it. It's not that all the people are running away from it. People are looking for it. But we are hiding it in our homes. We are just keeping it to our souls. And not still willing to share it with those who are in need of it. This deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not come for me and you only. It came for all the humanity. We tried to keep it to our souls. We kept on hiding it. Hide it so much that when people now, look what happens. When they're undermined, they just want to take and they don't realize the importance of the asset that they have. Now it goes to a point where the person now wants to hide his identity as a Muslim. I don't want anyone to know I'm a Muslim. And for that, the person may change his physical look. Gradually, the person gives up the prayers at a place where people may be able to see him. Then, the person, and there are many who have done that, they go to the extent of changing their names so no one will know who this person is. This is what happens to us in this situation. But subhanallah, the thing that we have, if we start offering it to people, if we start showing it to people, who doesn't like beauty in this world? There will be very few people who may not like beautiful things. Otherwise, everyone likes beauty. And if we start putting up the beauty of Islam to the people, believe me, it's so beautiful. There is no flower, no human being, nothing in this existence that is more beautiful than this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing sweeter than the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are looking for these sweet things. They are looking for these beautiful things. But they don't really know that we have it. And we didn't show them what we have. I remember in one of the sessions in a church, there were a series of sessions, so now I thought, I don't know what to talk about. So I said, let me tell them about something about morality in Islam. And talking about morality, I gave them some details about how Islam protects other people and their honor, their respect, their property, their wealth and everything. And I gave them the example of backbiting, which of course they had no clue of it whatsoever, never even thought about it. That this could be part of people's rights that don't even backbite them. It was a church larger, I mean about 3-4 size than this place, full of people. And when I finished the talk, it's not I or someone else. The point is, this point of akhlaq and the point about how Islam teaches us about respecting others and not insulting people, not backbiting people, not talking behind their backs. After the talk was over, an old man gets up and he says, he's very emotional. He gets up and he says to his people, let me tell you one thing. If there is any group of people that would go to paradise, that has to be his group. If they have so much respect, then this has to be the group that will go to paradise. It won't be, if they, these people won't go, then no one else will go. He just got up and he made that announcement that shocked everyone. And I thought now the situation will become more difficult for me because the rest of the people will be upset because of that statement. Amazing part was that except for the priest, everyone agreed with that man. We have that beauty. Believe me, there is so much over there. And I don't want to really change the topic to go towards the topic of the beauties of Islam. How to present it? What do we have as beautiful things in Islam that others are lacking? They don't even have it. Not only that they don't have it, they don't even have a clue of what we have there. Some time ago, we had a dialogue, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, presenting the moral values of each religion. No person will be talking against the others. All of us will be just presenting our own moral values according to our books. And it was in the university where the public was mixed and large number of non-Muslims. Every person in that gathering unanimously said the very same thing, that the moral values of Islam are such that we have never even thought about, and when you all talked about what you have in your books, we feel that this Quran will be the best book to teach people how to behave. It's clear, it's very clear. If we start looking at it and we start looking at the teachings and start comparing it. But the thing is, in spite of this, many times the question is, I don't know what to give. The reason is, I'm unaware of my deen. I'm unaware of the beauties of my deen. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is preaching it, and large number of people are entering into this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course the effect of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will play its own role, but he is not just saying some words that are meaningless, walayyazu billah, and then because of the effect of his words, no, he is presenting those beauties of this deen to them, that will, the person will start thinking about it. It makes people think about it, that yes, these people have something there. So now, if we start giving people, instead of just keeping that intention of being the takers, we need to change that intention so that we become the givers. Start giving the society. Start giving back now. We got a lot from the people. We got what they had. Now let us give them what we have and they don't have it. And if we start doing this, you will see the change right there. The change will be there right there. It's not possible that this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presented and then still those people will think that Islam is all about terrorism. When we complain that media is doing this and there are people who are doing it, I would say it's because of our own mistakes and faults. Why my neighbor, people who are living in my neighborhood for last 10-15 years, after hearing those words on the TV, they are convinced that Islam is a religion of terrorism, that will support terrorism. They have never seen me. I have never presented this deen to them. They have never heard about what this deen is about. We lived together for so many years. All they may know that this is a Muslim, there is a Muslim that lives in the neighborhood, but he is good because he doesn't practice his religion. This is all they know. If they find an excuse for us, that will be the excuse. That he lives in our neighborhood. Very nice man. I know that sometimes he comes and helps us and we go and help him. And he's a very nice man. And after seeing all of this, he's nice because he doesn't practice what's in that book. If he would, then he won't be a nice man. Whose fault is that? Should I blame it now on that TV, on the media? The blame comes on me. Well, how I had those 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, how come I didn't do that work? How come I didn't inform them of what this thing was about? Was I supposed to just sit on it? قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. See, this is my way. I invite to the deen of Allah with full vision, full understanding of it. عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ is not just أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ, that I just invite. No, I learn it. عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ, I have good understanding of it. And it's not only me, أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, me and my follower, we all do the same thing. Whose followers are we? أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, is مَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي contains us too? It's a big question now. Are we part of وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي of this ayah? Muslims are in the span of the world for so many years. And we ourselves forget about the ones that are gone or the ones that are not here. It's me and you today. And we are here for so many years too. But people who work with us, people who play with us, people who are considered to be our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, they don't know what this deen is all about. So if tomorrow that person is misled by someone else, it's not that person's fault, it's my fault that I didn't tell him enough of myself. I didn't tell him enough of my deen. Otherwise, when he would hear that, right away he'll say, I know this is wrong. I know this is not true. Because there is a Muslim here, very practicing Muslim. And I know that because of his being practicing Muslim, he does this, this, and he tells me this is what their Prophet have taught them, and this is what their Prophet have told them, and this is part of their deen, and he does all of this for me because he says this is part of my religion. So the question is, what to give now? If that is the question, now we know what to give. And we need to start working towards how to give. We know what to give now. Now we need to start working towards how to give these people. The point is, if I go into that detail, we'll keep on going on and on. The point is that we need to change our situation in this community, in this society, so that the situation of the ummah will change. The situation of the ummah, me and you are forming the ummah. The situation of the ummah will change when me and you will change. And if we will change to become the givers to the society instead of just being the takers, then inshallah our situation will change. Then people will be looking up to this ummah. I don't say up to me and you. We will be working towards the betterment of the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When these muhajireen, they went to Medina Munawwara. Of course, the people of Ansar, they welcomed them. They opened their doors for them. Here, take whatever you want. Half of my assets, my property, my home, everything is for you. But did you study the seerah to find out that Ansar were not the only people residing in Medina? There were some other people there too. What was the other people's reaction? Of course, if we just imagine without reading the history, we will say the other people must be very upset. And yes, They were upset because the religion these people are following. We don't want the followers of this religion to come to our town. But the people of Makkah Mukarrama who went from Makkah empty-handed, they had nothing to give people. Physically they had nothing. But when they went to Medina Munawwara, they started giving so much that all the people of Medina were looking for these people. They're running after them. When can you spare some time for me? I have to ask you something. I need to learn something from you. We need to sit and discuss some issues. Now all the people of Medina are running after these people. Now the people of Ansar of Muhajireen who came from Makkah, they are the givers and the people of Medina are the takers. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. When they went to Persia, one of the superpowers of the time, Roman and Persian empires, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu was leading the Muslim army. And the commander-in-chief for the Persian army, his name was Rustam. Imam Kathir, Imam Tabari, and then all the other, or many of the other historians have narrated this. When they arrived there, Rustam sent a message to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu that if you send a person to us, I would like to discuss something with you people. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu chose a person who to many of us may be a very unknown person. Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. I don't know how many of us may have heard this name before. So he's not one of the very well known and famous of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, known for something. Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, when he went there, so as they describe him in the history, who would describe him? Those who were sitting in the gathering of Rustam and later on they became Muslims. Those who were sitting there, they describe him that a man comes in, physically he doesn't look to be very strong, normal body. Looking at his dress, you can tell that he's very poor. So many patches on his dress. He's riding a mule or a donkey. Doesn't even have a horse. And he's holding a spear in his hand and an old sword that is wrapped in a cloth because he has no shield for it. And he comes in where Rustam is sitting with full preparations to welcome a person who according to him will be someone very important to meet in his life because he has to discuss a very important issue that is to come now. So he made all the preparations and the part of the preparations have his couch made out of gold. His golden couch was ordered so that he can sit on it, and his crown and all the armies that are standing around him and saluting him. And then there, as Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu anhu would enter, thousands of people will be bowing down for Rustam to impress Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. Now as he walks in, is he the person? Yes, he is. Okay, let's go down. They're trying to impress him now. So they all bow down for Rustam. He goes in, he continues on his donkey. There is a carpet there. They told him, sir, you have to come off your donkey, keep it here because you can't take it on the carpet. He says, what do you mean? You want me to walk all the way from here to there? I won't do that. You can't take it on the carpet. But listen, go and tell your leader, tell Rustam, he is the one who sent for me so I can come and talk to him. So if he wants to talk to me the way I come, and he wants to invite me the way I want to come, then I come and talk to him. Otherwise, tell him to come over here and talk to me. I'm not going to walk to him. Everything is gone. All the preparations are gone. So they go and tell him that he is not willing to come off his donkey. He wants to walk with it on the carpet. So he said, let him come. As me, sometimes even we say, these Arabs don't understand. But that was his understanding really. That was their understanding. He goes with his donkey on the carpet. Then he comes to one of the couches. He sees it. Oh, this is a good one. With the spear, he makes a hole in it, ties his donkey with it. He starts walking. And the way he's walking, histories have recorded that. He's leaning on his spear at each step. So he's making holes into that expensive carpet. Hearing this, some of us, we may right away give a fatwa. This is halal? Is this halal? This shouldn't be allowed. You are wasting all of that. Remember, the holes he's making is not in that really in that carpet, it's in the heart of everyone that's standing there. If by making those holes you can win 200,000 hearts, it's worth it. Make even more holes in it. And I will tell you, if you look at the history, you would see that Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, in that position, the way he went in, he won the battle before anything else. There was no need for him to go and say anything more, and there was no need for him to prove anything about their coming and why they are here. The man that has no value for any of these things. Then he goes and he sits just next to Rustam. So right away they told him, this is disrespect, come down. Oh, okay, I didn't know that. So he comes down. During their conversation, it was long one of the things Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu anhu said to Rustam, he said, I'm so sorry to tell you this. When I came, I thought I would be coming to a great man. But when I came over here, and I saw people bowing down for you, and you're not stopping them from doing that, I realized that you are a man of your nafs. And you would love to see people bowing down for you. Our deen teaches us that we should not be bowing down for any human being. It's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he looks at the people standing there. Oh people, instead of worshipping someone like you, why don't you worship Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rustam was afraid. He's winning the hearts of all the people. He already have impressed them so many, they have never seen a person like him with that situation. And still he is a giver. That is the word I would use at this time. So they asked him, Rustam asked him, what are you people here for? He continues, before Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu anhu will get the opportunity of saying something, he continues to say, I know you people have no growth in your country. And always people from your part of the country, they have been coming to our country to get some money, some food, and we always give them something. So here, go back to your Amir and tell him that how about you people go back, we will give some dresses to each person, nice dress, we will offer you some money, I think he said we will give 100 dinars to each person or something like that, and to your Amir we will give this much, and for your Amir we will keep on giving yearly, on an yearly basis we will keep on giving him this much. So go and give this offer to your Amir. This is what he thought. He thought he came and they all came for this purpose. What is the purpose? For our purpose. This is what he thought. Rabi' ibn Amir radiallahu anhu said to him, "Now listen to me, why we are here for. نَحْنُ رُسُلُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. We are sent by the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. We are representing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ibta'athan Allah. Allah have sent us. We did not come. It's your mistake to think that I came. I did not come. Allah have sent me. And He sent us for a purpose. لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد. We came over here and Allah have sent us so that we teach people how to stop worshipping people like them and start worshipping Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are here to teach people that you are following a religion that is very narrow, that has no information, very limited. إِلَى سِعَةِ وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَى سِعَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. To bring you out of those narrow religions to the vastness of this Islam. This is what we are here for. So we came to give you people something. We are not here for here so you give me some apples and some bananas so I go back and I'm happy that I got some lunch. I didn't come here for this. We came as givers now. Yes, we used to come at that time as takers and you used to treat us accordingly. We accepted that at the time because we were takers. But now we are not takers. Now we came to you as givers. We won't accept these things from you anymore. We don't even need these things anymore. The kuffar of Quraysh. When they approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we read it in the seerah again and again, then they said, Ya Muhammad, Al-Walid ibn Mughira, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, if you want the wealth, here we'll gather as much wealth as you want. We'll make you the wealthiest person in Arabia. If you want to marry, we'll find the best woman for you. You want the position, we'll make you the king of Arabia. That was the offer. Imagine that one of us will get that offer today. You have to stop praying your prayers and Friday prayers and then you will become the boss. Let me think about it. And the person will be doing istikhara now. And Ya Allah, if it is good for me to leave the prayers and next day, yeah, I feel like it. Imagine, this with this little bit of what we get, right away we forget our position. So they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with all of these offers. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is always telling them, should I inform you of something better than this? You don't have to give me anything. All you have to do is, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُ. I came here to give you something, not to take something from you. I'm here to tell you that say La ilaha illallah so you would be successful. I'm here for your success, not for mine. I'm trying to give you people something. And this is why if you read the stories of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, with the story of every Prophet of Allah, you would find these words that he said to his people, and Allah quotes those words. Of course, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam spent a long life. And they said a lot of things throughout that period. But Allah quotes these words for every Prophet that he said to his people, La as'alukum alayhi ajra. I'm not asking you for any reward that you pay me something for it. Simply it's indicating to the same position that all my people, I came to you not to take something from you, I came to you to give you something. People started coming and giving sadaqat to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because that was the order of the Sharia. Now, when a person gives something, for some reason he has a feeling that I'm the giver now. So if I'm giving into masjid, my intention is for Allah, something comes in there and tells me, you know, you are the giver. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they come with you with sadaqat, with their sadaqat, وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ, make dua for them when you take the sadaqat. إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ, your dua for them and your prayer for them will be peace of mind for them. So now when a person comes to give something, he realizes right away, I'm going over there to get the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through that I will be getting the peace of mind. So every giver comes over there, not as a giver, as a taker. So they all are coming and doing the same act, but now they became the takers, because he will always be making a dua for them. And of course, you imagine if you get a dua of a Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, what can be greater than this, and whose dua will be more important than his? So now they all are giving, but those givers are in reality, they are the takers now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always the giver in this situation. He's always giving. And this was the situation of the ummah. This was the situation of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een. Wherever they went, whichever part of the world they went, they did not go over there just as takers. Even if they would take, they would take worldly material, and they will give their deen, they will give the deen and iman to those people. And people always realize what we are receiving from these people is much greater than what these people are receiving from us. This has to be our position. So now, very quickly summarizing the whole thing, how to change the position. Number one, we need to realize our situation and our position. Who we are. What are we? Are we just normal people that are living there to earn? No. Our situation is much more important than that. نَحْنُ رُسُلُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Today we can repeat the same words of Rib'i ibn Amir رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. We came here to represent those ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to teach people what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam have taught the world. This is what we are here for. Change our position. So, number one, we need to realize what's our position. And by that realization, start working towards the change and start giving people now. And become the givers. Everyone around us, all those who do not have this iman, should realize that if you need something really, if you need morality, if you need something good, go and talk to this man. If then your neighbor's children are misbehaving and they need someone to talk to them, they will say, let's go to Abdullah over there. Let's go to Abdullah's house and he will talk to you. And they know Abdullah has some words of wisdom to offer my children. He's so nice, he's so kind, that even if my children will just stay with him for some time, they will benefit from him. But they're not getting it. So, instead giving people, and instead practically, verbally, in every way, the way we find in the hadith, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving, and how Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een were giving, instead using all of those methods with hikmah, with wisdom, and instead giving people. With that, one more thing that is very important for us. Have your strong connection and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always have so much connection with Allah that at every step of your life you have full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only do the good insha'Allah. If I'm putting my effort, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Today, minor things make us lose hope. And the person gives up. Now he's taking some pills. What happened to you? We're stressed out. No one wants to listen. Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years, didn't take a single pill. What happened? The trust is gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. I'll make it very short now, inshallah. In Surah Yusuf, we read it many times, but we need to have that connection there, making these connections to these messages. For how many years did he lose his son Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? Yusuf alayhi salam was a young child. And finally he's a grown-up man. And he's ruling Egypt now. And when Yaqub alayhi salam, at that time, after so many years, when he's sending his children, amazing if a person in that situation will use these words, subhanallah, it only shows us what iman would do for people. He says, Ya bunayya dhabu, ya baniya dhabu, fatahassasu min Yusuf wa akhi. Oh my sons, go look for Yusuf and his brother. Dad, are you still talking about Yusuf? You cried so much that you became blind, and you're still talking about Yusuf? It has been so many years. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Don't give hope, give up your hope from the rahmah of Allah. I still have a lot of hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and look for him. And they'll go there at this trip and they find Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Today, minor things, something, a difficult situation came up in the house, right away people lose their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially, sometimes the situation gets so bad, especially in some parts of the world, people will tell them, sister, you know, if you are not having children, there is an idol over there. You go and tie just a thread at the idol. And then you will have children. And these type, how many of these type of things are happening with us? So, Yaqub alayhi salam, in spite of losing his son for so many years, he says, وَلَا تَيَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Don't give up. Don't lose your hope in the rahmah of Allah, because the next word even stronger. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Only disbelievers will give up their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believers will always have their trust and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a strong statement. So we have to hold that hope. What does it mean? Sometimes we make a dua. Ya Allah, please guide us and guide my neighborhood and people in the neighborhood, and I know it won't happen. Believe me, we may not say it. But look into your heart at that time. Doesn't your heart say something like that? Why? We lost that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to make dua, and he says, Ud'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. Make dua to Allah in such a way that you are confirm and you're sure that your dua will be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your heart is telling, yes, now this is happening for sure because I have talked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the difference? So that hope and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, changing our position in the community, start giving, learn how to give, start learning ala basira, don't just give, learn how to give, and start giving people, and then keep yourself connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with firm hopes, with strong hopes, with strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we will see inshallah. Believe me, there seems to be very minor changes, but they will have great effect on our society. They will have great effect. This is the rahmah of Allah. In fact, let me end with this. This is one of the beauties of this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put some great effect in some very minor deeds. And you can have a whole list of those. Very simple example. لن تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. None of you will enter the Jannah until you become believers. ولن تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. And you won't be true believers until you love each other. Should I inform you of something? If you would do it, you will start loving each other. أفشوا السلام بينكم. Spread salam amongst each other. How difficult it is to spread salam? Simple. This will lead us to what? To Jannah. Straighten yourself. What you would get out of it? Very simple. Make yourself straight. Especially nowadays, different colors of the carpet and this, everything is there. How simple that is. What will happen, the effect of it? Allah will put your hearts together. Subhanallah. The whole world is having conferences on this topic. How can we bring hearts together? And here, hang yourself straight. Of course, we are not talking about who never come to Saf. Forget about having it straight. They don't even come to the Saf. Then of course, how are we going to have our hearts together? Some minor things have great effect on our lives. On the situation of the Ummah at large. These are the situation of the Ummah. That we all will love each other through the Salam. We all will, our hearts will be together by having that straight Saf. So this is an effect of that, as we were talking about, that if we just start changing our position, change the intention of what we came here for, change it now, and from there on, start thinking on planning on how to become the giver, and then start working in that direction. Up to this day, I was the taker. From now on, I will be giver, and I will be giving more than what I'm taking now. Remember this, we should be giving more than what we are taking, and we should be giving something greater than what everyone else is giving. And we have those things. And with that, and with the hope in Allah and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will inshaAllah, if really only, this is not a small group, this is a large group comparing to what is needed. This is really a large group. If all of us will just start changing our position and our situation, and according to this, we will see a great change in the situation of our society, and thus inshallah in the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al muslimina wal muslimat wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واهد جميع المسلمين والمسلمات ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وعجز وخطيئة وإنا لا نثق إلا برحمتك فاغفر لنا وارحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعزنا ولا تذلنا اللهم أكرمنا ولا تهنا اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في ديننا ودنيانا وآخرتنا اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا واهدنا سبل السلام وجنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نسألك هداك والمغفرة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وتوفنا مسلمين ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما يقرب إليها من قول أو عمل اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما يقرب إليها من قول أو عمل اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة
الجنة وما يقرب إليها من قولنا وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما يقرب إليها من قولنا وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما يقرب إليها من قولنا وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما يقرب إليها من قول أو عمل. اللهم أجرنا من النار، اللهم قنا عذابك يوم تجمع عبادك، اللهم قنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الفقر وقنا فتنة المسيح الدجال، اللهم قنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الفقر وقنا فتنة المسيح الدجال، اللهم قنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الفقر وقنا فتنة المسيح الدجال. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين، برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. امين يا رب العالمين.